You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Verrett.
And I'm Veronica Rickard.
If you're seeing more rats than you're used to, there's a reason why. Rat numbers are on the rise around the country. Cities like New York, Houston, and many others are seeing a spike in the number of these rodents this year.
And in Chicago, rodent complaints for the early part of summer have increased about 9% from the previous year. According to our next guest, that's for city officials to start sprinkling the streets with rat birth control.
Emily Atkin is a staff writer at the New Republic. She wrote the recent piece, America is on the Verge of a Ratpocalypse. She joins us to explain what's behind the rise in the rat population and what can be done about it. Emily, thanks for joining us today.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So what is behind this increase in the number of rats in a lot of places around the country?
Yeah, there are a number of reasons why we're seeing an increase in rats in cities across the country. One reason is just simply because we're seeing more people in cities, and more people bring the best habitat for a rat. Rats love people because people have food, and they have warm houses, and they have garbage. And so as we pack more people into cities, more rats are thriving in those areas. The other reason, which I talk about a lot in the piece, is that we're seeing warmer winters becoming more common. And rats like breeding when it's warmer outside. They stop breeding in the winter. So when we see warmer winters across the country, we see rats squeezing in one or two more litters. And as I talk about in the piece, one or two more litters of rats can be an extreme problem in increasing the number across the city.
Right. The math is not on our side here. You wrote that one pair of rats in ideal conditions can, over a few years, create a population of, what was it, hundreds of thousands? Do I have that right?
Actually, okay. This was the one line in the piece that I think freaked the most people out. It was a stat I got from a rat control company that said that two rats in an ideal environment can breed into 482 million rats.
I'm sorry.
over a period of 3 years. Yeah, so that's, you know, two rats turn into 10, then those turn into 100, because the rats, the litters are big, right? And they breed and have babies really quickly. So if they're in two rats in an ideal environment over a period of 3 years, can turn into 482 million rats.
Well, let's not try to think about that part too much, I guess. But when a city or a community is dealing with a rat problem, is it possible to get a real handle on the numbers of rats? It's hard to do a rat census, I would imagine.
Oh, it's so hard. And if you talk to rodentologists, which I did in this piece, and figured out that rodentologists are a thing that exists, they'll tell you that rats are super elusive. They live underground. They live in infrastructure. They live in garbage cans. They live everywhere. It's so hard to study rats and even the diseases that they spread. So we don't have a great handle on how many we have, but we can track how much. We can get a good idea based on the amount of complaints that people lodge, based on the number of sightings that people report, and based on the number of violations in a city, like in restaurants.
Is this just a big city problem, or do we see this in suburban areas, rural areas as well?
This is mainly a big city problem. Obviously, rats will exist anywhere that humans live, but when we're talking about influxes, I mean, unless you're going to eradicate the whole species, which is not going to happen. I don't think anyone wants that to happen. The big problem is huge populations in dense urban areas where people can unknowingly come into contact with either the rats or their urine or fecal matter. And that's where we see illnesses. Almost always when we see illnesses that can be traced to rodents, it's in a big city.
And that's the big problem here. It's not just the ick factor. This is a public health concern, right?
Yeah, that's the two things that we're really concerned about is public health and the economic impact of rats, because rats can damage infrastructure, which we could get into later. But yeah, public health is a huge problem because rats carry diseases. They carry, E. coli, salmonella, and other viruses that are kind of awful, more awful, like Solhantavirus, which can cause an Ebola-like hemorrhagic fever. And that's, you know, that's really rare. But also with the science, like, it's hard to say how many rats there are. It's also hard to say if you have a rodent-borne disease, whether or not that disease actually came from a rodent, because a lot of people just don't know if they've been in contact with a rat. So sometimes you'll feel bad. You'll feel like you've got the flu or something, and doctors will just treat it like a flu. They won't ask you where you got it, and you won't know that you might have gotten it from getting into contact with, you know, fecal matter from a rat.
We're talking about a growth in the rat population around the country. Emily Atkin is with us. She wrote about this in the New Republic. Emily, you talked with someone known as the Rat Czar, Bobby Corrigan. Tell us a little bit about him and his work.
Well, I learned about Bobby Corrigan because he is just the guy that's quoted in every single piece about rats. I think, you know, he might be the most well-respected rodentologist in the country, and he travels the world to help cities deal with their very unique rat problems, because every city's rat problem is different. They have different infrastructure, they have different, you know, subway systems, and they have different reasons why rats are thriving. So he goes and he consults cities across the world about their rat problems. He's the one that said, you know, anecdotally, that I see this everywhere, you know, over the last few decades that he's been doing this. It's worse than it's ever been. But he's not only, you know, he's not only somebody that consults about getting rats in cities. He's somebody, is that he's somebody that really respects the rat as a very intelligent animal. And, you know, he told me a few times, it's just one of the most impressive mammals in terms of their ability to survive that he's seen. And so I gained an appreciation of the rat by talking to him.
Let's get into some solutions. What are some of the ways cities and states, first of all, are trying to tackle the growing rat problem?
New York City is doing a big rat program right now. Mayor Bill de Blasio just announced like a $32 million, I think, program to get the rat problem in New York under control. If you've ever been to New York, I don't need to tell you about it. Mm-hmm. You've seen it. It's one of the worst cities for rat problems. And so that involves improving waste management, right? Rats love trash. You got to pick up trash more. You got to ramp up enforcement for places, you know, grocery stores, restaurants that are leaving out food and letting rats get in. You know, you got to ramp up penalties. You got to perhaps put rat poison around. But the issue with rats is that they evolve to become resistant to rat poisons, which is why you're seeing birth control being spread, you know, rat birth control being spread around instead of rat poison, which is really interesting. But the other thing is that you just need a good amount of money to be able to improve infrastructure everywhere. And what Bobby Corrigan told me is that cities don't take rats seriously enough generally, and they underestimate their ability to survive to invest enough money into rat eradication programs. And just generally, cities don't have enough money.
And you write about the possible federal role, that there used to be a big rat program. We don't have that anymore. Talk about that.
Yeah, we used to have, from 1969 to 1982, the CDC had a big program where they awarded grants to different cities so that they could, you know, put in place rodent control programs. You know, the cities would fund their own programs, but then they would get a boost from the federal government. And CDC, the program, it did have some hiccups, but the CDC considered the program really successful. I went back into, you know, the archives of reports from those days, and the Associated Press reported, like, back in the 80s, that program helped 7.7 million people live in rat-free neighborhoods. But the program was eliminated by President Reagan, just because, you know, that was the era of cuts of those, you know, sort of public health programs at the CDC. That wasn't the only program that Reagan cut. And it was just never, it was never picked back up again. So what I write is that, you know, perhaps this is something that's growing to be a problem of such magnitude where it is sort of a public health problem across the nation because so many Americans live in cities. It's a problem that's being caused in part by climate change, which is a national problem. The U.S. is the biggest, you know, contributor historically of greenhouse gas emissions in the world. So this is a problem that's partially caused by the nation as a whole. So, you know, I argue in the piece that perhaps it's time to start looking at some sort of federal grant program to help cities deal with this problem.
Emily, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
That's Emily Atkins, staff writer at The New Republic. She joined us to talk about how warmer weather is playing a role in the rising rat population in urban areas and what efforts are being taken to manage it.
Coming up after the news, we want to hear from you. Do you think it's harder to make close friends when you're over 30? You can call in now at 800-642-1234. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network.